The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Hosea, chapter 2, and the text is verse 15. Hosea is the first of the minor prophets following the major prophets. The major ones, as you know, are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then we come to Hosea, the first of the minor prophets, and there are 12 of those. And Hosea is the first of the minor prophets, and we're going to look at Hosea chapter 2, and especially verse 15. Listen to the word of the Lord. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Bring charges against your mother, bring charges, for she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry. For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her paths. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I, the Lord, gave her grain, new wine and oil. She multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time and my new oil in its season, my new wine in its season, and will take back my wool and my linen given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, her appointed feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but she forgot me, says the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness. I will speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and she shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day, I will make a covenant with them, with the beasts of the field and with the birds of the air and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us to see that the Valley of Achor is a door of hope, and that that hope is centered in no one other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us now, we pray, and fill us with Your Spirit and anoint us from on high with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, brothers and sisters, God speaks to His people in many ways and compares His relationship to them in many ways. He compares that relationship as the shepherd and the sheep, the vine and the branches. And here in this passage, He compares His relationship to His people as the bride and the groom. The Lord God is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And in the days of Hosea, it was very bad in Israel. Very bad. It was something which was so bad that the Lord said, "You are not my people, and I am not your God." In the fourth chapter of Hosea, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away." I mean, it was really a terrible situation in Israel in the days of Hosea. And the Lord, in order to show them how much He loves them, told Hosea to go and get a wife from among the harlots, among the prostitutes of Baal. You see, Baal was considered the god of fertility. And in order to stimulate Baal to help the land and to help the animals and to help people give birth through fertility, the Baal leaders had prostitutes around the temples of Baal, and those prostitutes would just be harlots for anyone that wanted them. I mean, it was a horrible situation, but that's paganism. And so God says to Hosea, "I want you to go and get a one of those women and take her to be your wife." And so he did. And the name of the woman was Gomer. And he married Gomer. And she gave birth to a child. And that child's name was Jezreel. "For in a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel and the house of Jehu." That's in the first chapter. She conceived again and bore a daughter. And God said to him, "Give her name Lo-Ruhamah," which means, "I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel." And after she was weaned, she conceived another. Then God said, "Call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people and I will not be your God." Now those were terrible names that were given to those children. "You are not my people and I am not your God." I mean, it was terrible. And so Hosea and Gomer are living together, and then Gomer is dissatisfied with Hosea and goes back to the prostitutes around the house of Baal. But the Lord says to Hosea, you go back over there and get her. You get her back. And so Hosea went back and bought her for 15 shekels from the one who owned her, and takes her back. And God said to Hosea, now this is how I am dealing with the children of Israel. They have proved false to me. I am their rightful Lord and husband. But they have gone after other gods and have committed spiritual adultery. But I am not going to let that happen. I am going to bring them back. I am going to bring them back. You know, this has been the history of God's relationship with Israel. Israel was a rebellious people. All through the wilderness, they were complaining and murmuring. And yet God had mercy on them. He had mercy on them. And it kind of came to a head at Jericho. Jericho was the first city that they had to conquer to go into the promised land. It was over the Jordan. It was on the west bank of the Jordan. City is still there. So as you know, God opened the Jordan River. They went through the river as on dry ground. And they conquered the city of Jericho in a miraculous way. They marched around the city one time, 7 days, and the last day, the seventh day, they did it 7 times, and the walls came tumbling down. It was a marvelous victory that God gave to the children of Israel. But God said, that city of Jericho is mine. The Lord said, it is mine. It is holy to the Lord. No one may take anything out of the city of Jericho. Every part of that city, all the ruins, all the treasures in that city, maybe some buried by the rubble of the walls, but all of it is mine, says the Lord. No one may take anything out of it because it's sacred to the Lord. But there was one man among the Israelites whose name was Achan, who went looking through the ruins and found some silver and gold and some very fine clothing. And he looked around. No one was watching, and so he took it. And he buried it underneath his tent. No one knew about it except Achan. And the next town to conquer was a little town of Ai. And Joshua said, we'll just, you know, reduce our troops for this town because it's a small town and we had such a wonderful victory in Jericho, we certainly can overcome this little town of Ai. So they did, and they attacked Ai, and mind you, that little town fought against them and overcame them, and I think 37 of the Israelites were killed. And Joshua comes before the Lord with sackcloth and ashes on him, and he says, oh Lord, what has happened? We had a great victory in Jericho, but now little Ai defeats us. What's wrong? And God says, there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. And so, as you know from the story, Joshua checked out every tribe. And he came to this tribe. And God said, it's that tribe. It's in, the person is in that tribe. And so they went from the tribe to the clans to the families, and it was Achan. And Joshua said, my son, tell me what happened. And Achan said, well, I saw this silver and this gold and this beautiful clothing, and I took it, and I buried it in my tent. And Joshua called his servants, and they said, go and get that. So they dug up in the underneath the tent, and there they found it, gold, silver, clothing. And they brought it out before Joshua and the people. And Joshua said, Achan, is that what you took? Yes. And so they stoned Achan. They stoned him and his whole family. And they burned the whole thing. They burned him. And then they had victory. Now, when Hosea says, the valley of Achor will become a door of hope, that valley of Achor is where Achan was punished. That is what Hosea has in mind. The valley of Achor is the place where Achan was punished with death. Now, you and I would never put the valley of trouble. See, Achor means trouble. That's the meaning of that word, trouble. The valley of trouble becomes a door of hope. You and I would never put trouble and hope together and say, trouble will give you hope. No. We would say, well, if you have trouble, you hope for the best. Or what can't be cured must be endured. But we wouldn't put trouble and hope together. But God does. He puts trouble and hope together. You find that throughout the Bible. In fact, in Psalm 84, it says, passing through the valley of Baca. Now the word B-A-C-A, Baca, means weeping. Passing through the valley of weeping, you find a pool of springs. There's hope. You see, weeping and hope. The Apostle Paul speaks of the same type of thing in Romans 5. Tribulation works patience, patience experience, and tribulation works not only patience and experience, but hope. So you got trouble. Tribulation brings hope. And so there, that's the principle that Hosea is talking about here. That the troubling, the difficulty, the sin will bring hope, but the condition. The condition must be met. What's the condition? Achan has to be killed. Sin must be punished. The iniquity must be taken away. The evil that Achan did has to be covered. It has to be atoned for. Achan can't atone for it. No one can. No one can atone for our sin except one. And that's Jesus Christ. And that really is the ultimate proof that trouble will bring hope. Because Jesus went through trouble. Trouble. No one went through more. As you see him throughout his entire life, born of the Virgin Mary, but soon thereafter Herod sought to take his life. Trouble. Trouble in his life. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. trouble, trouble, trouble throughout the life of Jesus. Many left Him. And He said to His disciples, are you going to go too? And then Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of everlasting life. But the trouble intensified for Jesus. It intensified. The closer He got to His crucifixion, the more intense that troubling came. And then we see Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And before then we see Judas, one of the 12, leaving Him. And for 30 pieces of silver, betraying Him. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, He cries unto His Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Trouble, trouble, trouble. But it's all for our sake. It's all for the glory of God. Because you remember how you read, Him who knew no sin, God made Him to be sin. So God laid our iniquity upon Him, so that through His perfect obedience and His death upon the cross, His righteousness is given to us by faith. And so the trouble, which ultimately was, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That trouble brings us hope. Because on the third day He rose again from the dead. He paid for our sins. We are righteous in Christ before God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. For Christ Jesus has paid the price. The trouble has brought hope. Now that's true for you and for me too. Trouble comes in our lives in all kinds of ways. Sickness, death, cancer, financial loss, difficulties. These things come into our lives, but they come because there is a purpose behind it. There's a purpose behind these things that come into our lives. One of the ladies of Seventh Reform, I am the minister of visitation for Seventh Reformed Church in Grand Rapids. And one of our widows called me and said, can you come over? I just had the most terrible, terrible news. Her grandson-in-law was just killed in a terrible accident. So I came to her house and her daughter was there and we talked about it and she said, you know, in God's sight there are no accidents. God is moving in a mysterious way. Here, her grandson-in-law, her granddaughter's husband, a youth pastor in Fort Wayne, Indiana, was just killed in a terrible accident. She said, the Lord took him. Now that's the only way to look at it. That's the only way to understand trouble. Trouble comes into our lives, but trouble has a purpose. And these issues in Hosea's day, they were terrible. The people went along their own way. They forsook the God who is the living water, but they chose for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They did their own thing. They were rebellious, and they never learned. They never learned. It was terrible. The Israelites were terrible, terrible people. They really were. So God finally sends His only begotten Son, who is a son of Israel. He's a son of Adam. He's a son of Abraham. He's a son of David. He's a son of Israel. But he is Israel's Lord. God said no to Joseph. You're not going to be the father of this child. That would do no good. Because you would be passing on the sin, the original sin of Adam and Eve. You would be passing on your own actual sins. You'd be passing that on to the next offspring. No. No, no, no. No, Joseph. So the Lord takes Mary and says, you're going to have a child who will be the son of Adam, the son of Abraham, the son of David, but he will be Adam's Lord and Abraham's Lord and David's Lord and your Lord, because he is conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by any human being. And that was the only way in which a new beginning could be made in the human race. Someone from outside. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And he went through that valley of Achor. He was punished in your place and in my place. And we celebrate that every time we have the Lord's Supper. The bread which is broken and the cup which is poured out, signifying the death of Jesus Christ. But through his death there is victory and hope and glory. That's the valley of Achor becomes a door of hope. And then the prophet goes on and says, she shall sing there. That is, the people of God shall sing. Where shall they sing? In the valley of Achor, they're going to sing. As in the days of her youth, as in the days that she came out of the land of Egypt. She's going to sing. Now, what is singing? Singing is worship. You see, because the trouble became hope through the punishment of sin, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can sing. That's why it's such a blessed thing to have a worship on the Lord's Day. What is the Lord's Day? It's the day of resurrection. It's the day we remember Jesus conquered death. And up from the grave he arose, a mighty victor o'er his foes. He arose, a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. That's why we sing. We sing because the Holy Spirit was poured out on this day. This is a very special day. The first day of the week. And so they sing there and worship because our lives are transformed by the mighty grace of God. Do you know that? Have you experienced this? I know you no doubt have experienced trouble. Everyone has. Every house has its cross to bear. But the Lord works through those difficulties to bring us closer to Him. God is at work in our lives. He's at work in your life. He's at work in our country. We are going through difficult times as our country too. There is a moral free fall in our country. We as a nation have forsaken the Lord. And we are reaping the consequences of that and all kinds of things which are breaking down the family, breaking down moral life. It's really hard to bring up children today. They watch the news. They hear about the strange things that are happening. And we say, oh Lord, how long can this continue? And then we read in the Bible that through trouble, There is hope, provided that the trouble is dealt with. There has to be punishment for sin. And the Lord is not done with us. He's not done with our nation. We may go through some very great trials yet. But one thing we can be sure of, that this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide to the very end. And that's our comfort. That's why we can sing in this valley of trouble. But here we read in this passage that the valley of Achor, God made to be a door of hope. And that door of hope is for ours, for us. We must walk through that door of hope. We must lay hold upon those promises of God and know that God is good, that He is sovereign, that He has a purpose and a plan, and that we may go through life in confidence, knowing that He will never leave us or forsake us. Oh, may the Lord grant that to each one of us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word of God. Bless it to our hearts. Fill us with Your Spirit. Forgive all of our sins. We pray for our country, O Lord. Forgive the sins of our land. Lead us in Your truth, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing number 461. God moves in a mysterious way, all the stanzas.